All right, we are back, and we're back. Yes, that's right, we are back. This is Dave the Clone, this is the Hollow Knight Network, and yes, you are not mishearing the internet. Don't adjust your antennas, which you younger listeners out there don't even know what I'm talking about, but what was it? The best laid plans of mice and men are often torn asunder. So yes, that one, that's the one that's more correct, that's life. As we know it. So without further ado, from me to you, welcome to 2020, and here we go, picking up right where we left off with the October 2019 New Jersey Horror Con. Just our way of saying welcome back to the fold, and by the way, the Hollow Knight Network can now proudly boast that we are a lifetime sponsor of this biannual event. That's right, every single New Jersey Horror Con from now until infinitum, we will be there with a table set up live, doing our thing, having a blast, and talking to awesome people like this. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. And can't say that we didn't come by and say it was all right. I don't know what I'm doing. I knew it's good to say hi to everybody. Welcome back and Happy New Year. Enjoy. We are back. All right, everybody. It's Dave the Clone, still here, boots on the ground on the second day of the October 2019 New Jersey Horror Con. With me on the mic is Scary Carrie.
Hey.
And joining us now, I'm going to let him introduce himself, but Matt Schmidt of Acres Films is hanging out at the con this time around, and he's got some stuff to tell us about, like maybe a little something you can check out on Amazon Prime. Matt, welcome to the Hollow Nine, and tell us a little bit about what you got going on.
Thank you very much. As you said, Matt Schmidt, Acres Films. Founder, writer, director, one-man show,
trying
to do it all.
Take it, man. Take it.
When you can't afford anybody else, you just hire yourself for free.
That's what happens.
So that's what I'm doing. My new film is called Tales of Found Footage. It is currently streaming on Amazon Prime. Just came out a week ago, actually.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. So I'm very happy with it, very proud of it, and just hoping it picks up some steam, goes viral.
Okay.
And make a little name for myself.
Well, when we say Tales of Found Footage, I mean, that brings up, I mean, immediately, and I hope you don't mind me saying things like Blair Witch and Paranormal Activity.
Oh, I was going to say Blair Witch,
and
I'm glad you said it.
And there's a whole sort of bevy of films that were right in that same straight-to-streaming kind of zone that were basically the same movie over and over again. What's it like to be in that sandbox, and how is your film standing apart from the rest of the films that we might sort of instantly associate with the term found footage?
Well, you're absolutely right. It's impossible for me to say it's not in that sandbox because it is found footage. Uh-huh. But as a, you know, just starting out independent filmmaker, I pretty much have to work within my capabilities.
Sure.
And my budget that I can afford to lend to these things only allows me to go within the found footage realm.
And just before you go any further, I did not mean that to be a negative connotation.
No,
question. I suddenly was like, I feel like I made you really defensive all of a sudden, and
I
do not want to do that at all.
I was going to say that's some of my favorite stuff, because I feel like this is the shit that you weren't supposed to see, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
The question is, what I feel like your question, Clone, was how is yours awesome? Like,
there you go.
How is your found footage going to be way better than
this
other crap
that's been put out there? Well, see, I just assumed the awesome. I didn't feel like I needed to label it, but, you know,
well,
how is your movie?
I'll take the awesome assumption. I'll take that and run with it. Absolutely. No, it's like I said, it is what's within my capabilities, so I have to work within that.
Yeah.
I think the one thing that'll set me apart is that it is a found footage anthology, a little more in the tradition of VHS, if you've ever seen that series.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's
yeah.
a collection of found footage films all wrapped into one, so I kind of modeled it after that.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that sets us apart is that we have a host introducing each skit.
Okay.
And we made sure we let him
like
have...
Like Rod Serling version, like in the mode of that? Or?
Actually, more like a Masterpiece Theater type character.
Okay.
He's an older British gentleman.
Love it.
He introduces each skit with a bit of humor and a bit of disdain, if you will. He's very refined, and he can't believe he's hosting this crap, as he puts it. So,
that's hilarious.
There's a little fun to it. Yeah. We have a little fun with it. We try not to take ourselves too seriously. It's not that we didn't want to make a good product, but sure. we just tried to have fun because I wanted the audience to go through laughing, fear, mm-hmm. you know, just a roller coaster of emotions.
So, like, when a lot of the time, I think one of the things that's easy to criticize about horror from the outside is like, oh, it's taking itself so seriously that it's like gone into the camp mode. And I've heard a lot of people say they start out trying to not take it seriously, and then by the time they're about halfway through, it suddenly became serious, you know? And then sometimes that makes the movie become a little bit more serious and more seriously scary. How did you sort of temper the, are we going too campy? Are we going not campy enough? Like, where did you find your comfort zone? How did you find your comfort zone with the approach?
Well, I guess the advantage I had with that is that it was three stories, so I wanted each story to have its own feel.
Okay.
So the first story is very straight pan serious, and actually the third story is that too, and right in the middle you have a bit of a lighter, campier one
yeah.
to kind of just like, so it's like we try to scare you a little, bring you back down, have a few laughs, scare you again at the end, and wrap it up nicely. And like I said, with the storyteller, it helps, you know, break that up a little. So I just feel that I think the best movies take you through every possible emotion you can.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody will cry or fall in love in this movie, so I can't claim we hit those emotional notes, but I tried to do the best I can to take the audience through everything so that they're engaged and entertained the whole time.
Mm-hmm. What was the biggest challenge you faced in starting the project? You know, I mean, is this your first, this is your first directorial debut, or
it's,
is this?
It's actually my second.
Okay.
And I learned a lot from the first one and overcame a lot of challenges in the first one. So this was a little smoother,
mm-hmm.
but being that, again, that I am like pretty much solo, I do have help from friends and stuff, but the hardest thing when you're dealing with people who all have 9-to-5 schedules and are only available the weekends, well, some of those weekends are not available.
Right, right.
And when you're working with a big cast, scheduling obviously was the biggest challenge
of
all.
Yeah.
I bet.
Wrangling is like,
yes,
you know,
just getting everybody together on the same night, being available, and then even when you're shooting, just unexpected things come up,
yeah.
so it delays you, and you don't get as much done as you would like in one night.
Right.
So, go ahead.
No, I'm dying to know where these stories came from. I just don't think that you just all of a sudden one day went, oh, I think I'll write this and I don't care about it. I think they came from somewhere. Where did they come from for you?
Well, it's not that. No, you're right. It's basically, what I did was I started out screenplay writing.
Okay.
And my screenplays that I have written and completed would require the full Hollywood machine behind them.
Yeah.
So I had the writer's bone in me, and it's like, that's really where I'd like to end up eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, being a no-namer, no one wants to hear from a no-namer. It's not that I was getting read and rejected. I just wasn't getting read.
Right, right.
So I was like, okay, let me try to make some low-budget films, make a little bit of a viral name for myself, and, you know, then I'll have a name behind me to start marketing my screenplays. So that was like, that's like where the origin came from. And then the stories would just be stuff based on something I've seen or just based on some life experiences. I don't want to give away too much, but
the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
So, for instance, the first story does take place in a local pub here, the Irish Pub. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Irish Pub here in Atlantic City.
No, this is my extent of Atlantic City, is coming to Showboat for New Jersey Horror Con.
Well, anyway,
I've also been to the Tropicana a couple times, and I think I had a buddy at a bachelor party at Caesars once.
Okay.
But basically, it's almost like the Vegas tour. We go from building to building. We don't really stop in between.
Gotcha.
So, educate away, man.
Well, the locals are very familiar with the Irish Pub. It's a very old-timey, old, and a famous bar for locals and a lot of people to visit. And right above it is a hotel. And being that we would take, at my job, we would take our dinner breaks there a lot. We got friendly with the owner, and we used to go up in the hotel. Well, if you go up in the hotel, it looks like a mini Shining.
Oh, wow.
It really does. Long hallways, very old-timey decorations and antiques.
Will you come play with us?
Yeah.
You get lost walking around. Yes. Like, you can't find your room. You wind up in a room with an old lady in a bathtub.
Exactly.
And she comes out and tries to get with you and rots away in your arms.
So it was just like, okay, like, being friends with the owner, I'm like, I got to take advantage of this. Plus, it is supposedly really haunted. I personally didn't experience anything, but supposedly really haunted.
Wow.
So I was like, well, I got to just take advantage of this.
Sure.
So during the winter, while the hotel part was shut down, even though the bar is 24/7 year-round, she just let me have carte blanche on all the floors and stuff. So
that's
I was
awesome.
Like,
what
I'm
an
like,
opportunity.
So that, like, the story kind of wrote itself. I'm like, this would be perfect for two young girls to take an online challenge and have to get through this hotel. And of course, a lot of bad stuff happens. And
I like it,
so
man.
Forth and
so it's
so
kind
on.
Of got a game show aspect to it. But
so that was the first story, and then the others just like kind of came to me. Everybody's familiar with the mail order bride situation.
Right.
That was like, I'm like, oh, that'd be easy to add a twist to.
So is that the funny one in the middle,
that's
or is
the
that
funny
the scare
one in
you
the
as
middle.
You're walking out and you don't get to sleep tonight?
No, that's the funny
All
in
right.
the middle.
What can you tell us about that without giving it away? Because I need to know how a mail order bride is going to turn into a comical
horror movie. Oh, it's already scary just from the concept. I'm like, why do people do this shit? What's
They're
wrong
lonely,
with everybody?
Man. They're lonely.
Yeah, but so you mail order a crazy. Bride? Right. Let's just talk about how fucked up that is, okay? Hi, I'm gonna mail order my spouse from a catalog.
Hey, I mean, tell me how it's any different than like Tinder or something else, right?
True.
Nowadays
it really is
right.
a good
I
point.
I mean, you meet someone online, you have a connection, they're attractive, you get together. I'm sorry, I'm not judging.
Yeah,
lonely.
But you at least get to look at the pictures and you make the contact yourself.
With
you
the deal with mail order brides too?
Really? I mean, I obviously I clearly
well, like on a tangent
have, clearly have not explored this possibility
in life. And we will be accepting sponsorships for mail order bride companies.
So if
Thank
any
you.
Of you Russian mail order bride undercover spy agencies want to sponsor the Hollow 9 Network and put us on all the FBI watch lists, by all means, everyone we talk to will become super famous.
We went on a tirade.
We do that. That's what we
without
do.
Without giving it away for those people that want to come get it on Prime.
No, just tell me to be quiet, too. I may go off on a tangent
no,
myself.
Not at all, man. So what were, I mean, like, when you first saw, like, stuff like the Blair Witch Project came out, I mean, I was one of the people that was sort of seduced by the concept before they had
right.
to admit that it was a false, that it was a fictional thing.
Absolutely.
The idea of people disappearing, and a year later, someone finding their footage and stringing it together into a movie of what could have happened to them was so much more horrifying in my mind than what we wound up seeing on the film.
Right.
But even if we hadn't been told that it was fiction and I saw that film, even though that film was boring as hell, I would have still been more scared of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So there's something about the idea, and, you know, these days we call it FOMO, the fear of missing out. When you know your friends are getting to do something you're not getting to do, you're kind of missing out. But this is like a morbid version of that, because when you find footage, you have no idea what happened to the actual people. You could be watching people getting murdered for all you know when you start watching it. What about that? Did you find something in that you felt you were comfortable enough in that space to kind of, like, get your stories told? And is it the kind of thing where you feel like if you had the chance, you'd want to do more of a traditional version instead of the found footage?
Well, I think the thing is with traditional is what scares me at the moment is traditional is that I just don't feel I have the experience yet.
Okay.
So I'd rather learn my mistakes on a found footage because, and this is just being honest, you can disguise your mistakes a little more on found mm-hmm. footage because it's intentionally amateurish.
Yeah.
I think if you try to go beyond your limits, you're going to be exposed as an amateur. If you try to make it look professional, but you only have amateur means, you're going to come across as amateur, and
right.
it's a lot more people will be a lot more critical of you. If you intentionally go raw and found footage and people, that's why I have all my actors improv, because I don't want them try to read scripted lines because I'm scared they're going to come across as amateurish actors.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just want them to go with their natural, you know, feel
wow.
of something.
That's a cool
so
approach.
That
gutsy. Really gutsy.
So because I just feel like, okay, they're like, found footage, people are forgiving of found footage.
Sure,
you don't usually say in found footage, oh, that's bad acting. You already know it's bad acting. It's just people being people.
They're not
you know?
Acting.
They're not acting. They're just being people. Yeah. But if you try to look professional without the professionals behind you to help you make it what it is, then I think it can come across as less than what you want it to be and very disappointing. So I think that's why I'm comfortable in that space for now until I get a little more behind me. Now, like the screenplays I wrote, they would require the full Hollywood machine behind
me. Yeah.
But again, because I'm not a name, it's harder to get in that space. But what was great with the Blair Witch, even though now it's been, like, you know, made fun of and lambasted over the years, I think that what appealed to me initially is not that, like, oh, there was some big payoff at the end. It was like, you know what? At the time, I was like, I could see me and my college buddies doing something just like that.
Yeah.
It was the relatability.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that's with these stories, I think there's the charm of my new film helps is that it's there's a relatability because there's a story for each person. So even the mail order bride person,
yeah.
or story, I'm sorry, we're dealing with a guy who is a complete down on his luck individual and has just said, you know what? The heck with it. I'm going to do this route that my friends have been nagging me about for years and just go for it. So the third story is teenage witches, and a lot of teenage girls have been through that goth phase where they went teenage witch experiments.
There's some of them here at this show exactly. right now walking around us. They probably, all their ears perked up as you said that.
So
someone's talking about us. We gotta go find out where.
So I'm not gonna pretend this is super realistic, but a little bit of relatability does help audience engagement. It really
awesome.
Does.
Yeah. Awesome. Very cool.
So I'm super impressed that you're on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. How did
that
happen?
That's a big time.
Well, I'll backtrack yet once again. Forgive me if I go on a tangent.
All good.
So went back to the writing thing. Wasn't getting anywhere just because I was a no-namer. Finally, I got Amazon Prime, and I noticed an ad pop up on my Facebook for a movie called Bad Ben. Mm-hmm. And the ad said, if you love Paranormal Activity, which I did, you'll like Bad Ben. So I finally got Amazon Prime. I started watching it. And about 10 minutes into it, the guy mentions Atlantic City Electric. So I was like, oh, he's local.
Yeah.
Because that's our local electric company. So I immediately paused the movie, got on Facebook, reached out to him. He got back to me the next day.
Wow.
I was like, hey, how did you get on Amazon Prime? I found out, actually, the process is relatively simple. You just have to meet their technical requirements. And then, of course, they do review the film to make sure it's not
garbage.
Over the top or garbage or amateur porn or whatever.
Right, yeah.
You know, Mail Order Bride could go either way. The title Mail Order Bride could go either way.
That one, they're like, holy shit, we got to scrutinize.
So those guys who were on the edge, now they definitely want to go see it.
Right.
That's awesome.
Exactly. So I started with my first film, which was more of an experiment. I just wanted to prove that I could do it and get it done. And, you know, but it admittedly had its first-time filmmaker flaws.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, you know what? I got the proving out of the way that I could pull it off. Now with this second film, Tales of Found Footage, I'm like, hey, let me really put, like, my heart and soul and effort into this and really make a good, enjoyable film that the audience can just latch on to.
Yeah.
So that's
awesome.
Basically how the Amazon Prime happened. But for amateur filmmakers, it's great because it's immediate international exposure.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Kind of like podcasting, if you think about it.
Yes,
in a way.
Exactly.
Sort of what appealed to me about that world. Just a real quick minute on Paranormal Activity, because for somebody who... I know when the first one came out, and even when Blair Witch came out, I was like, man, I wanted to love it, but I was a little disappointed because of how scarier I thought it was when I thought it was true. Paranormal Activity, the first three films, I think I've seen the fourth, and I haven't seen Ghost Dimension. I haven't seen anything beyond four. But I thought that one of the greatest things about that series of films is there's a huge story there that that's not even really being told on the surface. You have to really pay attention and pick up on all these little kind of details and clues, and it's almost like they use the found footage almost like a distraction from that, if you think about it, because I remember reading articles on like Screen Rant and Cracked about how they broke down, do you get what's really going on in Paranormal Activity? And now I feel like that's a pitfall that's kind of easy to fall into. How did you avoid some of that, where like a lot of the story is in we're hoping you picked up dialogue as opposed to we're showing you the elements? Like there's a whole grandparents were Satan worshippers in a coven of witches and promised their grandkids to a demon aspect of Paranormal Activity that you won't pick up unless you listen.
Hell, now I need to go rewatch all the
that's
thanks
what I'm
a
saying.
Lot, Dave.
That's all I'm saying is that it's kind of one of those things that's in the background, but it's there.
And it really doesn't get revealed until you watch like the whole series of films to realize that it's basically a coven of witches that did all this stuff.
Yeah,
and
they
so
promised their grandkids to a demon. They didn't even tell their kids about it. So when the demon demons chasing the grandkids for years. People don't know why. Right. I mean, that is pretty intense. Especially that third movie where the dad gets his back broken in half and then the kids walk by and the grandparents just take the kids away and you're like, what in the hell is happening? And then the credits start rolling and you're like, motherfucker, I need more. So hopefully you get that element with yours of the motherfucker, I need more. But like, I feel like, is there a little bit more satisfaction with sort of the story being up front, would you say?
There is a little more satisfaction only because not everything is explained, because especially in that the Shining-esque first story, I kind of tried to give it a Kubrick feel. Like sometimes you'll see a ghost, but it's not explained why that ghost is there or the backstory or stuff. I am a believer in that not everything has to be explained, which is good. But at the same time, these are short films, so I did try to just wrap them up in each one.
Gotcha.
And then, God willing, sequels have like type of similar stuff, and maybe revisit some characters that actually survive.
Yeah, it'd be neat to do like a whole actual sequel anthology, like where each short. Gets
that's
a
my hope for it if it's successful enough. But I think with short films, it's not that you can't hide things, because I did hide some stuff. But it's not something that, I don't think it's something that needs to be answered. Like when you left The Shining, you don't have to know why exactly an elevator was just filled with blood.
It just
worked.
Yeah. You also don't need to know why a guy in a bear costume was giving another dude a blowjob.
Right.
We just assume, oh, that's some weird 50s shit that was going on.
Which, apparently, if you didn't read the book, you never understood what was what with that. But, you know, but Kubrick was just a master anyway. So, I mean, you know, his visuals just told a whole nother story.
So what is the response you're getting when you talk to people at the convention about your film? And what have been sort of the feedback and vibe you're getting from it?
Well, it's only been out a little over a week. So the feedback has been limited. But yet it's been overwhelmingly positive, especially compared to the first film.
Wow.
Where it was more like the first film, it was more like a pat on the back, like, hey, yeah, you did it. Good for you. Happy. Oh, yeah.
I'm glad you tried. Glad you tried.
E for effort. There you go. But you know what? People are getting a genuine, what I'm liking is they're scared at the right places and they're laughing at the right places. So it's hitting the notes I wanted to hit for the most part. I'm still learning. Is it perfect? By no means. Is it a far improvement over the last film? Yes. And am I very happy with the feedback so far? Absolutely.
Awesome, man.
So the show, I mean, what's good is that I ran into someone at the show and I was just talking to them about it. And they're like, you know what? I just saw your ad show up on my Facebook feed or my Instagram feed. I'm like, good. So then the ads are getting out there too.
So that means they're going to go check it out now that they met you. They're like, oh, now I have to go watch. Like, I was on the fence, but now I'm in. Anything as far as where people can follow you? I know you said it at the beginning, but anything you want to reiterate as far as where people can go online to learn more about Acres Films and about, I mean, obviously Amazon Prime is where they can find Tales of Found Footage. But what about the first film? I don't know if you want to promote that one since
You know what? When they pop up, I'm on all the social medias as myself and as Acres Films. I have separate pages for Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and everything. So they can definitely follow us there. As far as the first film, you know what? It's out there. It's not like I could take it back. So it's called Happy Birthday, Hannah.
Okay.
If you would like to go check it out, it is very much in the tradition of Paranormal Activity.
Okay.
Let's see. And it's also on Amazon Prime. So please check it out at your leisure. Please be kind in the reviews. And please realize it was my first film. And
there
it was
you go.
Just an effort. But,
hey, man. You did it, though. A lot of people don't even get that far. You know?
I'm trying.
That's
trying.
That's the whole deal.
I'm just doing the best.
It's all about the bravery, man. And we're glad you did it. Thank you for coming and hanging out with the Hall 9
Network.
Thank
you guys for having me. This is awesome.
Cool,
this
man.
This is my first official interview. So.
Oh, wow. Dude, we got a lot of exclusives for Hall 9 this today. We had news from the last guy about a project that no one knows about. So I'm like, hey, all right, man. Hall 9 will take it. So I hope you'll come visit us again if we see you at the next show. And maybe we could do some
try to attend
on Skype and stuff and let us know how everything's going.
100%.
And, we'll definitely check out your film on Amazon, guys.
Yeah.
Acres Films, Matt Schmidt, Tales of Found Footage. And we're the Hall 9 Network, still kicking it live here at the New Jersey Horror Con. You'll be hearing it recorded, but we are live here actually doing this recording, so stay tuned.
listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. That's the word hollow, the number 9, INE. Now broadcasting from our new home on the web, hollow9.com, where you can find info on all of our awesome programming as well as the team behind the shows. Leave us your feedback, join in the conversation, and be a part of the action. Find the Hollow Nine Network on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Email us at info@hollow9.com or at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Join in the fun. Hollow Nine!